Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to the middle of the week. That's the day. You're halfway to the weekend, y'all. We're going to get you to Fry-yay very soon. But before we do, here at Hump Day, we got to play a camel. Play it, man.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's Hump Day.
Yes, it is. It's halfway to the weekend, and congratulations on getting that far. We're going to get you all the way, like I said. Plenty of stuff to talk about today, but first I got to say, JP's on the board. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you doing today?
I am good.
Great.
I'm feeling rather saucy.
Saucy on this hump day?
Saucy on hump day. It's by the way, just so you know, it's International Men's Day. Happy International Men's Day to you.
Happy International Men's Day to you.
Yes, I embrace the idea of International Men's Day.
I didn't even know it was a thing until today. So
I feel certain there's a Hallmark card out there somewhere, an International Men's Day Hallmark card.
You know, I would hope so. It would probably on the front ask for your pronouns first to make sure you're a man for giving it to.
Stop it. Okay, and on that note, we got a great show laid on for you today. 4 o'clock today. You know the deal. On Wednesdays, we play the camel. And oh, by the way, at 4 o'clock, we also have a thing called the Grand Council with two of my brethren in talk radio joining us. That's Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson both coming on at 4 o'clock today. So stand by for it. And then I got a triple dipper just filled up with stuff. So hit it, man.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. First out the gate, just calling it manly man stuff. Well, it's International Men's Day. Isn't that what that's about? Manly men. We're going to talk about manly man stuff. Just like, what does the left think of when they want to honor men? I got news. It's not manly man stuff, but we'll talk about it. Number one, Triple Dipper, manly man stuff. Stand by for that. Number two, you know the deal. And here's the thing. Every once in a while it happens. Sometimes when I'm resourcing the show early, early, early in the morning, like this morning, I think it was like 5:15. I'm resourcing the show. I'm getting things together. I'm like, how much wokeness? Look at all the woke. Good gosh, all the wokeness. I have a vast cornucopia of wokeness. That means it's time for another round of adventures in woke world. So yes, we will. I will have a veritable plethora, a vast cornucopia, a smorgasbord, a charcuterie, if you will, of wokeness. Adventures in woke world, number two on the Triple Dipper. And then number three, we're going to get real. We're going to talk about where are we going with the southern border. Well, there's a plan brewing, and there is also a plan to resist it that is brewing. And I'll be honest with you, I'm fed up with it. And I think everybody is. And we do have breaking news, by the way, that just in the last hour, the murderer of young Lakin Riley over in Georgia was convicted and given life in prison. He's a Tren de Aragua gang member, and oh, by the way, he's here illegally. Let's talk about at the border. That's number three on the Triple Dipper. All right, well, let me jump on into today's opening monologue, The Right Side Way. As always, my thoughts that coalesce into an opening monologue. And apparently today is International Men's Day. Great. I just found out this morning. I'd never heard of this. International Men's Day. Just like that. I can sense that a whole bunch of male versions of Right Side Ruffians are asking, well, what do I get? Do I get a day off? No. Can I skip mowing the grass? Nuh-uh. Will somebody grill me a steak? Sure, if you pay for it. Well, I say phooey. Look, International Men's Day needs to have manly man stuff. Bring on the gifts. Tell the jesters they must make me laugh. Let there be feasting and merriment. I shall have mutton and tankards of ale. Or what's more likely, let's just go about our days doing all the things we usually do. All the stuff that it takes to be a manly man in today's weird world. Look, okay, I'm going to step out into a politically incorrect place here, but, you know, what's new, right? There is a war on manhood in America right now. The left is out for manhood. The idea that it's okay for men to compete in women's sports is somehow celebrated when, in fact, it's both disgusting and embarrassing. The U.S. military, they say that recruiting failures are because only 23% of American men are even fit to enlist in the military. It's a very small percentage. The war on manhood was actually already underway, and then Dylan Mulvaney showed up on, of all places, a Bud Light can. The fact that a biological male, by the way, can be applauded as an influencer for prancing on video and celebrating his 365 days to girlhood is a clear indication that something has gone awry. The left is trying desperately to enshrine the beta male as the role model for a civilized society, and I say hogwash. So let me just pause and reaffirm what many of you, hopefully all of you, already know. Men are men. From the time they were born, men are biologically, mentally, and emotionally different than women. It's real. It's important. It's just plain okay, by the way. I'm reminded that Scripture tells us that God made man in his own image. He made men first from the dust of the earth. When God created the earth, there was only one thing that he saw and said that it was not good, and that was that man was alone, so then he created women from Adam's rib. We're all precious in the eyes of God, his own creation, made with good intention by a God who does not make mistakes. But he did create us differently, and he absolutely 100% created men to be men. I read a book a while back. It's a small book by best-selling author Stephen Pressfield called The Warrior Ethos, and I'm going to talk about that more in just a minute, but I got to tell you, Stephen Pressfield is actually one of my favorite authors in general. He wrote the epic historical novel called Gates of Fire. If you haven't read it, you've got to. Gates of Fire. It's about the 300 Spartans who stood in the face of overwhelming odds against the mighty Persian army. That book is up on the Right Side recommended reading list at rightsidemedia.org. It's often seen, by the way, as a mandatory reading in military circles. It takes a fictionalized view of the true tale of men who staved off overwhelming odds, the men of ancient Sparta, a warrior class who knew that their role was to be men and to stand in the gap. Legend says that when a Spartan man left for battle, that either his mother or his wife, one or the other, would present him with his own shield. And they would say to him, "This is your shield. Come back with it or come back on it." Many today have heard about the Battle of the Spartans, but how many of you know that those 300 men that I'm talking about in the book Gates of Fire, how many of the 300 men that actually stood in that narrow pass called the Hot Gates at a place called Thermopylae, how many know that 300 men changed the whole world? 300 men. 300 men against a million-man Persian army led by King Xerxes. And those 300 men stopped that invading army in its tracks for days. They were finally defeated, but their fight at the Hot Gates is what galvanized the Greeks to band together and become a nation. And that Greek nation eventually defeated the Persians and drove them out. And that Greek nation, by the way, is the foundation of the modern Western world. That Greek nation gave us demos kratos, which means people rule, from which we get the modern word democracy. If you think about it, 2 weeks ago, you voted because of 300 men who stood in the gap and birthed democracy. Now, carry that through to modern history, and time and again, you're going to find that men do what men do, right? What God made them to do, why God made them. But that other book I told you about by Stephen Pressfield was a nonfiction. In the other book, The Warrior Ethos, Pressfield takes a chapter at a time to describe such politically incorrect things in detail as duty, honor, country, having a sense of humor under fire, having the essence of courage, having a sense of civility and love from a position of strength, or providing aid and support to the weak while emboldening others to stand. Pressfield talks about things like inner wars and outer wars and how to train up young men to be old warriors. And these attitudes, these character traits, if you will, many of which are learned behaviors, are not just for soldiers. They are truthfully not just for men. If you get down to it, women can have undaunted courage. Women can face crises with grace and poise. I'm married to a woman like that. I help raise a woman like that. My son is like that. He married a woman like that. But today I'm talking to men because that's what I know. So understand me when I say this. I'm not saying that unless you can tote a gun or lift heavy weights or wear your hair in a conservative fashion that you're not masculine. True masculinity is not defined solely by your age, your status, or your outward appearance. It's a compilation of more esoteric things like character, the warrior ethos, work ethic, care and concern for others, self-sacrifice, courage. Sometimes it's the little things like standing up to bullies, like speaking out for your beliefs. Sometimes manhood is things like sacrificing a little bit of your me time to play with your child, or opening the door for your wife. Like paying your employees before you pay yourself, or like checking on a friend in need. Again, don't confuse this monologue today with some kind of preconceived notion of the poster boy for true masculinity. You don't have to be the Marlboro Man. You don't have to be a member of SEAL Team 6. You don't have to be somebody who knows how to spit dip without getting it on your shirt. You can be rough without losing your civility. You can have calloused hands and still wear a tie to work every day. You can be a father, sometimes even separated from your kids, and still be a dad to them. It's true. The attitude of roughness and masculinity is often embodied in a mental picture of harsh ruggedness. George Orwell said, "People sleep peacefully in their beds at night because rough men stand ready to do violence on their behalf." And yes, yes, they do. And the world needs men. The world needs rough men. But it may surprise you that not every rough man is rough. It may surprise you they don't always have to look like a movie character, like a scene from a tough guy flick. In my day, I've known a lot of dudes, a lot of action guys, operators, members of America's elite special operations, first responders, dudes with grit and determination. A lot of them, by the way, did not fit the visual stereotypical mold. Even in the Bible, when he was preparing to crown the future king of Israel, Samuel was taken aback that it would be David, a small guy, the least among his family and the least among the tribes. But God told Samuel in 1 Samuel 16:7, "The Lord sees not as a man sees, for a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So yeah, the bottom line is, I don't care if you've never earned a medal. I don't care if you haven't got a penny to your name. I don't care if you have a physical disability that limits your capabilities to do things. I don't care if you've made mistakes in your past. I don't care about any of that. And by the way, God doesn't either. Hear me when I say the society will be better off if men act like men, with a sense of masculinity that goes beyond their outward appearance. And if they do, it will definitely resonate to everyone around them. Conservative Christian commentator Ali Beth Stuckey, she wrote a piece on manhood a few years ago. It's a great work. She said, here's her quote. She said, quote, "The growing problem in today's society is not that men are too masculine. It's that they're not masculine enough." Stuckey pointed out that when men embrace their masculinity in a way that is healthy and productive, they are leaders and warriors and heroes. And when they deny their masculinity, they run away from responsibilities. They leave destruction and despair in their wake. And she ended by saying, "It's not masculinity that's toxic. It's the lack of it." So buck up, men. Remember, you were made in the image of Almighty God, the God of the angel armies. So be the man. And by the way, happy International Men's Day. Let the feasting begin. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. It's like a pet peeve of mine, the idea that somehow or another you can have this diminishing, this actual degrading of manhood. Like something's wrong with being a man. We're wired different. Just get over it. But the truth be told, it's not a question of toxic masculinity. Like Ali Beth Stuckey said, the absence of masculinity is what's toxic. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades up in here. Text lines are open, by the way, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. You can text it or call it. Either one works. And by the way, I got to say, we've really been seeing an uptick in the online viewers. So y'all, we're on the show. We're radio broadcasting live every day, but we're also live streaming the show. So it's out there right now. You can see it on YouTube. You can see it on our website, rightsidemedia.org. You can go to rightside_media on Twitter, or you can go to my Twitter, which is at Sin Phil Williams. I mean, we're all at Twitch. You can go to Rumble. It's all over the place.
Yeah, and go to the website too. The stream's up on there as well at the live stream page. So
that's exactly right. So bottom line is, a ton of y'all apparently figured that out in the last few days. The numbers have been ticking up like just exponentially. Loving that. Thank you very much. I got a call on line one. Before I get text messages, I'll go ahead and take that. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing okay, sir. But I was thinking about what you were referring to before you went into the monologue, going through the triple dipper.
Yeah.
And the man that who happens to be an illegal alien murders yeah. somebody and gets life in prison.
Yeah.
But that means we're still paying for his food and shelter.
I know.
And I'm pretty old school on murder once it's proven beyond a reasonable doubt.
I'm right there with you, man. And you know what? Who knows? I hope he doesn't enjoy life in prison. He doesn't deserve to.
Well, but we're still going to be paying for them. That's that annoys me. So y'all have a good day.
I share that with you. Thank you. Hey, by the way, happy International Men's Day. Just so you know. I'm not sure we heard.
That's his thing.
That's how we felt. That's how we felt about International Men's Day. Click. JD from Hartsel says we're having a charcuterie of cod swallop. Yes, we are. A charcuterie of cod swallop. Lee from Huntsville says, happy International Men's Day. Now take out the garbage, open this jar, mow the lawn, defend your wife and kids with your life. Toxic femininity is the true enemy. Yes, Karen's everywhere. Take note. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, I'd like to wish you and all the Right Side Ruffian men a happy International Men's Day. Thank you very much. He said, if you see Dylan Mulvaney, wish him a happy International Men's Day as well, because maybe it'll put to sleep the wokeness that you never know. Yeah, it won't. But you know what? It would be right to wish him happy International Men's Day. He's probably done more for manhood than he imagines. Oh, my gosh. If nothing else, he did more for, what's one of the alternative brands, Miller Lite or what? What came in next? One of the Modelo? Was it?
Something
rose to the top because everybody abandoned.
I think Miller Lite was among Modelo was one too. Those went up big time. But I think Bud Light's kind of making a comeback a little bit. I think they've tried
trying hard,
distance themselves from it. But
whatever happened to old girl that did that that advertising campaign?
I don't know. That's a good question.
She's probably working on a SpongeBob SquarePants promotional or something. John from Huntsville says, Phil, awesome monologue. Also, JP, see the new college football playoff rankings? Boise State, number four. Boise State.
Man, the rankings have been getting some backlash. It seems that, I've talked about this last week, but people have issues with Georgia being 10 and, you know, people like Indiana and Penn State being 4 and 5 when they teams like Illinois or Indiana haven't even beaten a team with a bowl ranking eligible, record. So
did you see the text I sent you at O'Dark Hunter?
I saw that. Yeah.
Did I wake you up with the text, by
no,
the way?
No, I saw it when I woke up, and we'll see. Army plays Notre Dame this week at Yankee Stadium. So that'll be a big one.
That will be big. So we're not going to have back-to-back Army-Navy games.
Thanks to Tulane.
Go Army. Beat Navy. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Happy International Men's Day. We'll be right back. To Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all, Alabama. I'm saying it's Alabama. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. A couple more texts and I'll jump on to my topics. Brian from Huntsville says, Bud Light getting Peyton Manning as a spokesman almost makes it palatable again. Interesting. I did not realize Peyton Manning was going to be a spokesman for Bud Light.
Think I knew that either.
That's props. I like Peyton Manning. Certainly a outstanding athlete, but I like Peyton Manning as the guy. Ronnie from Danville says, can we change presidents if we're at war? Yes. There. By the way, we're not at war.
And I don't think we're going to be.
I think that Russia knows better. But yes, I mean, you look back at it. I think that Abraham Lincoln had to run for re-election even during the Civil War. I think you could look at changeovers of, was it LBJ? Yeah, we were in Vietnam.
And we had elections during World War II as well.
That's exactly right. You could absolutely change presidents if we're at war. Now, if there is some type of a national emergency that requires a declaration of martial law or whatever else, yada, yada, but don't go down that conspiracy theory road, because I don't think we're going to get there. And by the way, it would take a lot for that to be a thing within the next 60 days. However, we're watching what happens in Ukraine right now, which I know is why you're asking this question, but we are not at war in Ukraine. Remember that. Let's jump on into the first dipper. I'm going to talk about some manly man stuff because, oh, by the way, like I said, today is International Men's Day. The left hates manhood. I'm just going to say it. By the way, why is that? Is it because they just like don't want anything to be normal? What is the reason why the left is so averse to the idea of traditional manhood? Because you know they are. Listen, you can get teary-eyed at an AT&T commercial. I understand. You know, the ones where the guy comes home from overseas and surprises his family for Christmas gets me every time. Just saying. But listen, real men don't walk around going, I'd like to talk to you about my feelings. Real men can talk about feelings and be honest about feelings, but real men don't look for opportunities to have whole days dedicated to the idea of them coming in closer touch with their feelings. That's not the way we talk, generally speaking, just saying. Now, some of y'all out there may be going, Phil, of course it is. I challenge you to tell me why that would be the case. But I've got a piece here, believe it or not, International Men's Day. This is the second time this week I have gone to the Times of India as a resource. Phil, you went to the Times of India? I did. Times of India, Dateline, yesterday. Every year on International Men's Day, we celebrate to recognize and honor the significant contributions of men to society, families, and communities. Okay, good start. I think we're heading the right direction. That's about as far as it got before it started going downhill. The day focuses on bringing attention to the health, well-being, and positive role models among men, okay, while promoting conversations around gender equality. No, let me stop you right there. There is not a man out there who is looking for a day set aside just for manhood who says, please, can I have a holiday, a day of recognition where we can talk about gender equality? There's none. I see your left-wing bait and switch. Yes, all you guys out there that thought we were getting a steak or you thought we were going to get, you know, like a free beer with dinner, something. You're going to eat spicy chili, you know, none of it. Get a day off from mowing grass. I'm sorry. It's not happening. What they really want is a day recognized internationally where men will pause and promote conversations around gender equality. No. I'm like, you're all in on this, aren't you?
Not really.
You're staying quiet.
Not really. I'm not very. And another aspect of it, too, is it drives me nuts when people say, you know, men deserve flowers, too. Like physical flowers, actually.
Men don't want flowers.
I don't want flowers.
Now, I did see, by the way, what they call jerky flowers. It was beef jerky made into a flower arrangement, and it said, give the gift of meat.
I like that flower. I'll take beef jerky flowers.
I'll take it all day long. So this article continues. Are you ready? Go ahead and brace yourselves. Apparently, some guy named Dr. Jerome Tiluxing from Trinidad. Why does that feel very random? It just does.
From Trinidad.
That's pretty random. I don't know that I've ever heard of an expert from Trinidad being quoted in a Times of India article about International Men's Day. I've never heard of this before. But anyway, it's an opportunity to appreciate the men in our lives. Yes, okay. We should challenge men to face such things as mental health struggles and high rates of suicide. And this is getting depressing. So we're going to have a day where we talk about all the things that are downers. But I get it. That's important stuff. You know, you look out for your buddy. You watch your buddy's back. You call and check on each other. Okay, that's good. Men got to be there. Lock arms with each other. As, you know, iron sharpens iron, so one man can sharpen another. I'm good with that. Yeah, it goes far afield when it says, the day was also envisioned to focus on things like the impacts of toxic masculinity. No, it's not. No, I'm sorry. No, it's not. Things like nurturing, positive. Real men don't say nurturing, by the way. Who wrote this? Is it did a female write this or did Dylan Mulvaney write this? Whose idea was this, by the way? Whose idea was it to have a holiday where we focus on conversations around gender equality and toxic masculinity and the nurturing of positive role models?
Now.
And calling it Men's Day.
The real question is, what do they say the meaning of International Women's Day is? Is it for toxic femininity or to have conversations about gender inequality?
You're going to have to go all straight up to things like, can we have feminine hygiene products in the men's room? It's where you're headed, dude. Yeah. You know that. It's just going to happen. By the way, the theme for this year's International Men's Day is Men's Health Champions. This is where we break out into a rendition of We Are the Champions. Four focuses. I can live with these. Take action on your health. Look out for your mates, which I had to look close. Is that like British talking about your friends, or is that like your spouse? But it's apparently...
It's probably, you know, I think it's Australia that says mates.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Creating a healthier future, I guess, looking forward. Building healthy communities, okay. Celebrating men's contributions, right. Improving gender relations, okay. And then you start looking at, I've got a whole article here on thoughtful gifts. Oh, yeah. It gets really weird when I get into the thoughtful gifts. How much time have I got? Do I have time for the thoughtful gifts?
You got nothing but time.
I almost feel like I want a shower when I get done with this. Well, I could get a shower after I use my luxury skincare products that are recommended for men on International Men's Day. Oh, Dateline yesterday, International Men's Day, thoughtful gifts from men to make them feel special. That's the headline. A wide array of affordable products that are perfect for celebrating at home. From cozy loungewear to grooming kits. Okay. There's something for everyone without stretching your budget. Why do I feel like we just stepped over into those infomercials you see every year around Christmas and Valentine's, where you give the gift of the giant teddy bear with the heart-shaped pajamas? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know those ones I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Except it's for men. So now we get a giant teddy bear and, you know, heart-imprinted silk pajamas for men, because what we really wanted, you know it's true.
Golly.
Is cozy loungewear and grooming kits.
It's like Christmas came early.
It's International Men's Day. International Men's Day, it says, just brace yourselves. Oh, God. Is International Men's Day is an opportunity to stop and savor. Men don't say savor. We don't say nurture, and we don't say savor.
Yeah.
Unless it involves like a fine wine.
Or a steak.
We might savor it, or a steak. Mm-hmm. We might, yes. International Men's Day is an opportunity to stop and savor the contribution, strength, and individuality of men. A well-thought-out gift is more than a gesture. It informs them that they are important and loved. This is feeling really gross right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't really want to...
Yeah.
I need a bath.
Hang on. You ready? It gets better. Men equally deserve to be pampered.
Ugh.
Okay, men don't say nurture. We don't say savor. And we don't ever ask to be pampered. And thoughtful gifts can uplift their spirits, be it a warm hoodie for chilly evenings or luxury skincare. Showing care in the little things can make their days all the more special. I know what I'm getting you for Christmas now.
Oh, nothing on that list, please.
I'm getting you cozy loungewear and a grooming kit. And I've been meaning to talk to you about the grooming kit, man. I'm just saying.
The grooming kit.
What is a grooming kit? What comes in a grooming kit?
I don't know. I mean, I hope it's just like one of those like shave, like the electric shaver, you know, whatever. I mean, that's okay, but I don't know if I would classify that as a grooming kit.
Grooming kit.
Yeah.
Yes.
All things grooming.
Yes. Yeah. It's a kit. If you need something for grooming, it's in your kit. Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile. So the bottom line is all men want a warm hoodie, cozy loungewear, grooming kits, an opportunity to focus on their toxic masculinity, to nurture their relationships, to savor the moments of life. And, oh, by the way, what's the other one that I said that we don't say? And be pampered.
Yeah, pampered.
I'm going to get back from this break after I'm going to go take a quick shower and then get back from the break. International Men's Day. Let's talk about some other things that are like more real, please, like real man stuff. Phil Williams. Right Side Radio, in a very manly studio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Going to the phones real quick. Is that Wolverine Dan? Wolverine Dan, how you doing, buddy?
Is your topic desensitizing males?
Desensitizing? What are you saying?
Well, you try to, I mean, what do the left want to wussify a man? Hey, listen, left, get this straight, okay? And the writer, anybody in general. Hey, on Sundays, I go to Publix, excuse me, a mess of breaded, real high cholesterol chicken wings, probably a case of beer, and my son comes over, and we crush the wings, we watch the Lions, and we chest pump, and I tell you what, my chest is hurting because we're scoring a lot of points.
That sounds like a good international men's
I'm
day.
I'm a
right
man's
there.
Man. Hey, Phil, dude.
No.
I don't. Yeah, that's right. Right. Yeah. You know what? I'm telling you. You don't boo boo. You do what you do, boo boo. If this is what you want to do, the other people that want to desensitize me, fine. But you know what? I'm definitely a man. I have responsibilities as a husband and a father. I take them very seriously.
Yep.
And then I have fun with my friends and my family. And I watch freaking football, drink beer, and eat high cholesterol chicken wings.
There you go. I like it. You have spoken.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother. See you.
God bless America.
See you.
See you later, brother.
See you, man. Wolverine Dan, one of a kind. We got a bunch of text messages. Let me catch up on a few of those before we hit the top of the hour break. Lee from Huntsville says it was Yingling. Yingling Beer was the big winner in the Bud Light fiasco. It's the oldest operating brewing company in the U.S. Okay, Yingling. All right, good deal. Ken from Harvest says, so is YMCA from the Village People the theme song for International Men's Day? It might be. I still can't figure out why that was the Trump dance song, but there it is. It's absolutely not the most manly song in the world. Big Al from Harvest says, for National Men's Day, I don't want to be asked about my pronouns. I want to tell you what my verbs are, like turning wrenches, hand tools, and fast cars. Those are my verbs. Digging it. Thank you, Big Al. Ken from Rimlap says, International Men's Day? Is this for men, people who consider themselves men, men born as men? We should put strict guidelines on this day. Yes, we should. Only real men are allowed to be celebrated on International Men's Day. There, I have spoken. The decree has been issued. Let it be so.
How controversial.
Just my way. This is how I roll, dude. Mark from Red Bay says, okay. Mark from Red Bay says, I think JP could use some hair care products. JP.
It's a good one.
JP, if you, JP's an MMA fighter. You want to take him on, Mark from Red Bay? I'm just saying. John from Huntsville says, I'm surprised that article you quoted about International Men's Day cited an alleged expert from Trinidad without providing equal time from an expert from Trinamom. John S.
I hate to validate his dad joke, but that was pretty good.
That was actually pretty good. And he came up with it, boom, just like that.
Yeah.
Brian from Huntsville checks back in. He says, I want this for International Men's Day. And it has, a laser engraved Trump handled Glock. Was that a Glock? Was that a 19? Mm-hmm. Anyway, nice. Let me get a couple more things here. I might even finish up this segment before we get to the top of the hour. How much time I got?
You got about 3 minutes.
Outstanding. So, you know, the things we're looking at right now in life surrounding us it's unbelievable what the left is trying to do. Like, for instance, there's actually a dude right now who believes he's a chick who is serving in Congress. Okay. And we have a big brouhaha going on up in D.C. right now where Representative Nancy Mace, I told you about it yesterday, she's been the victim of sexual violence, and she has issued the decree that she is not going to stand for a dude being in the women's room, not going to do it. So now we have Tim McBride, who goes by the name Sarah, a biological man who's being lauded by Democrats and all their allies as the first openly transgender member of the House, taking office in the next few months. And Speaker Johnson came out yesterday and he said, let's be clear. A man is a man, a woman is a woman, a man cannot become a woman, and we're not going to have men in the women's room. So the Speaker of the House actually, if you don't know, controls the security of the property. And it's going to be interesting to see where this one goes. But real men don't use the women's restroom. Thank you very much. And I've got a list here, which is, we could probably spend all day deciding whether the list was comprehensive enough, and I don't think it is. It was 6 manly movies for men who need a reminder. Came out just a few weeks ago on Daily Wire. I don't know what made them think to do this. But so some of the ones in here I would say yes. And some I think, Like for instance, 1953, the movie Shane. It's a great movie. Alan Ladd, title character, retired gunslinger, decides to help ranchers. I mean, it set the standard for the underdog hires the good bad guy to come in and help. Shane, 1953. Jaws, 1975. Absolutely. Absolutely. How many great lines? You're going to need a bigger boat. I mean, how many great lines in that one movie? Rocky, 1976. If you've not seen Rocky, I question your manhood. Just
Rocky IV in particular, the best one.
Which one was IV?
That was one where he fought the Russian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I will break you. Go for it. Oh, man. And then, you know what? I'll be honest with you. One of the greatest movie quotes ever you could use to teach manhood actually came from one of those culminating movies, Rocky Balboa, the one where he's talking to his son on the street.
Yeah.
And he says, it ain't about how hard you get hit. It's about how hard you get hit and get back up. And he just has this great speech.
It's an iconic clip, yeah.
Yeah. Remind me to tell you about that later. Predator, 1987. Oh, yeah. Get to the chopper. Get to the chopper. Die Hard, 1988. Absolutely. Yep. And then this one I didn't see coming. I don't even really like this movie a lot. Roadhouse. I always thought Roadhouse was this kind of bizarre.
I've never even seen Roadhouse.
Patrick Swayze.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard jokes about it, but I've never seen it.
Yeah. The guy he played, Dalton, could take on a room full of drunks, but being a real man knows he uses violence as a last resort. Okay. I get it. But you know what? Here's the bottom line, you guys, as we head to the break. Real men know how to be real men. And toxic masculinity, that's a farce. Toxic masculinity is not toxic masculinity. It's just people being toxic. You can be toxic as a female. You can be toxic as a male. If you're doing things that offend other people, that encroach upon other people's space, that are insensitive to other people's needs or wants or rights, then it's not toxic masculinity. It's just toxic behavior. That's the difference. The idea that somehow manhood has to be attacked because there's bad people doing bad things, the idea is really that we need more manhood, not less. So happy International Men's Day. Let there be feasting. I still want my mutton and a big tankard of ale. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I'm going to do something here in a minute. I'm going to play you an audio clip. A bunch of y'all are texting in. You want to text it or call it? We'd love to have it. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. I will say this. There's a tweet right now from Tabitha Eisner. If you're not familiar with Tabitha Eisner, she's good for a laugh, even though she's not trying to be funny. Tabitha Eisner is one of the senior leaders in the Alabama Democratic Party. She says the most inane things on her social media. She just said this, and it kind of fits into the narrative of what we've been talking about. She says, the fact that the R's, that's us, the Republicans, the fact that the R's successfully played on the public sexism does not mean the D's were wrong to run a woman. Okay. The fact that the R's successfully played on the public's transphobia does not mean the D's were wrong to protect trans people. The fact that the R's successfully played on, and then she goes on to says, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know what that means. What she says is kind of weird when you think about the fact she points out that we were successful, but it doesn't mean they were wrong. Okay. So what you're saying is you want a participation trophy or something, I guess. It was never about whether she was a woman, by the way. It was about whether she was a horrible candidate. It was never about playing on the public's transphobias. It's about the fact that we're sick to death of your liberal agenda and trying to tell us that women can be men and men can be women. It's just, but I look at that and it falls right in line with where we are right now. Life comes at you, right? Life comes at you. During the break, I was just sitting here talking to JP and I said, you know what? We got to find that clip. So I mentioned it a minute ago. Great movies, manly man movies. It's International Men's Day. Why should we not? Well, part of being a man, by the way, is raising up the next generation. And there's one of the greatest, listen, it's so good. One of the greatest speeches from a father to a son is actually in the movie Rocky Balboa. Now, you know, the Rocky franchise has got, I don't know how many movies there are, but I think there's like six or seven. But Rocky Balboa was the 2006 movie, and it was a sad movie in some ways. It was a story about a man who misses his deceased wife. It was about a man who's looking at his life and wondering, did he accomplish anything? It's about having a son and a father that were somewhat distant from each other, but at some point, the son, Rocky's son, actually confronts him. Rocky's son is tired of so-called living in his dad's shadow, which is really an excuse. and his dad comes out in the street after he kind of confronts him at his restaurant, because Rocky has a restaurant in the movie. And his son, and so Rocky follows his son out into the street. And this epic moment, I thought, you know what, we got to play this. So we're going to play it. So right now, about a minute and 10 seconds from Rocky to his son, play it.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always going to love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son. You're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't going to have a life.
Woo! Woo! Great speech.
It's a great clip.
Woo! Great speech. That's, you know what? If that ain't manly man stuff, I don't know what is. That's legit. That's real. That's the stuff. You know, the left can try and tell you that wokeism is the way of manhood, that toxic masculinity has to be overcome, that, you know, that somehow or another men are just, you know, fluid, and that there's an idea out there that men want to be coddled and they just need to be pampered and have a special International Men's Day where they can be nurtured. No, screw that. You know what the reality is? God wired us to be men. He did. He wired us to be different than women. He wired us differently. And we have to live up to that. And it doesn't mean you have to look like the Marlboro Man to be a member of SEAL Team 6, like I said earlier. But what it does mean is that you embrace the idea that perhaps you're supposed to be more manly in the way you pursue life. And it doesn't mean you have to suddenly have big muscles or carry big guns or, you know, spit tobacco or anything like that. It just means that you own up to where you are, what you are. You take authority over that which God has placed you in. You raise up the next generation to believe the same, and you keep moving forward when life gets hard. That's just an epic good speech to end that entire segment on. All right, love all of you. Happy International Men's Day. Let the feasting begin. Let me get a few text messages. Brian from Decatur says, conflating gender with ability. Conflate gender with ability. I'm not sure what you're trying to say to me, Brian.
But he sent a text before that.
I see it. You know what would help when people send me two texts in a row, I read the last one. He says, I find it humorous how they pose it as Republicans won't vote for a woman. I have absolutely no problem voting for a woman. The Democrats are attempting to conflate gender with ability. I would not support Kamala to run a hot dog stand in New York City. It will be the worst hot dog in the world, bro. Maybe all these little shriveled up green weenies that have been on the heat too long. You know what I'm saying? John from Huntsville says, Phil, I wonder where the SpongeBob movie ranks on your manly man movie list. It's off the list, just so you know. Thomas from Athens says, regarding Eisner's comments, the fact that ours ran as deplorable, bitter, and clingers doesn't mean that Democrats were wrong. Okay, Thomas. Mike from Florence, Alabama says, and now I can't help questioning the manhood, maybe even the gender identity, of the radio personalities at Right Side when they've never seen Roadhouse. I've seen Roadhouse.
I think he's talking about me saying I haven't seen Roadhouse.
Okay. All right. Well, you got an excuse because you're a lot younger than me.
Yeah,
I have seen Roadhouse probably more than once. I just don't see it as being on the list of top 10, you know, manly man movies. Just saying. David, I can think of five others. Jeremiah Johnson. Oh, God. Uncommon Valor. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Gene Hackman. And yeah, that was Patrick Swayze also. I mean, I could go all day. Outlaw Josie Wales. Oh, jeez, God almighty.
I think you just read off in order the list of movies on this paper sitting over here for me that you gave me. I think you read them off in order, actually.
Well, go home and watch them. Kevin from Hartzell says, men's fishing day, men's camping day, men's hunting day. I like it. I like all of it. Let's make it happen. JT Lacey Springs has just announced Hallmark Channel for Men. It's called the Speed Channel. There's cars. Robert from Athens says, "Dear Colonel Phil, toxic masculinity is actually feminism, where modern women mimic the worst stereotypical male behaviors without the duty, sacrifice, or accountability that real men bring." Wow. Go get deep on me, Robert. That's good stuff. Jeff from Indiana says, "Hey Phil,
where are you getting all these days on the calendar?" Oh, we're talking about, you know, International Men's Day and the holidays.
He said, "I want to see when is Pickled Egg Day." There is not one. There's an international band, Pickled Eggs Day, I'm pretty sure. Gary from Huntsville, he says, "The only thing I want to be pampered with is a new rifle from Henry Repeating Arms." I'm for that. I am for that. And then Tim from Decatur says, "A grooming kit equals a purse." That is pretty funny. A grooming kit is equal to a purse. Nice. Men should not carry fanny packs either, by the way. Unless you're on the ski slopes and you have to have a fanny pack to carry your stuff in. I get that. Yeah. But you know what? No. Oh, Andrew from Tony, Alabama, Heartbreak Ridge. Yeah. And then Hunt for Red October. Yeah, to both. Yeah. Have you seen both?
No.
God almighty.
Nope.
We got to listen. I know you were raised better than that.
I don't know. I guess I'm not a big movie guy, you know.
By the way, John from Huntsville wants you to know he's never seen Roadhouse before either.
Oh, there you go.
See? So there you go. All right, listen, we are going to take a break right now. I'm taking this break. I'm done with that topic. We are going to come back, though, and keep the hilarity going because I'm going to jump right on into some adventures in woke world. I mean, you look at it and go, come on, that cannot be real. And yet, somehow, it is. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Got a brand spanking new texter in the line. Greg from Huntsville. He says, "That Rocky speech hit hard. My wife works for Mean Doctors all day. I sent her the clip." Man, that's awesome, man. I'm glad of it. Thank you much. Mike from Florence, Alabama says, "Phil, I just have to mention this one actor. I have to admit, I've never heard of him until a few years ago when all I had in my camper was antenna TV. I'm sure you've heard of him, Audie Murphy. Once I saw his first movie, I found and watched them all. I think I still have the DVDs." Mike, yes, and I hope you know that he portrayed himself in the movie, was it To Hell and Back? Yeah, To Hell and Back with Audie Murphy. That was based on his story. The most decorated soldier of World War II, Congressional Medal of Honor. Audie Murphy, he was the dude. And by the way, John from Huntsville is now questioning you on all the movies you've seen. So just check his text because he's pinging you hard, man.
Yes, I've seen Walker, Texas Ranger. I haven't seen it in its entirety, but I've seen more. I've seen plenty of clips.
It's Chuck Norris, man.
Yeah, of course.
We could spend a whole day doing Chuck Norris jokes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, listen, I got to jump into the next segment, or I'm not going to have time because, you know, we do have at the top of the hour coming up, we have the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. But, you know, the deal, I say it, it's true. Sometimes I'm resourcing the show and I go, whew, the wokeness. Good Lord, there's a bowl of what? I've got all kinds of wokeness. I mean, how much wokeness can there be? And then I realize, that means I've got a veritable plethora, a vast cornucopia, a charcuterie, if you will, of wokeness. And it's time to do another Adventures in Woke World.
Adventures in Woke World.
All right, here's one for you. I'll start with this. I love Chick-fil-A. My first ever true clock-in, clock-out job was Chick-fil-A. Now, I've been doing something else for, you know, like since I was like 14. You know, working for my cousin's construction company in the summers or mowing grass and yards and stuff. But my first time to ever have a job where I clocked in and clocked out was Chick-fil-A in Parkway City Mall.
That was mine too, Chick-fil-A.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Which one?
In college at Tuscaloosa. That was my first clock in, clock out job. Same situation. I worked for like landscaping and stuff like that. But the first, you know, clock in, clock out was Chick-fil-A for me
as well. I did not know this. Mm. That's work.
Yeah. It's not easy.
I got news. How are there any chickens left in the world right now, as much as they serve?
My first day was being put on drinks by myself during prime lunch hour. And you'll get some hairs on your chest from that.
Yeah, you will. Mine was, that was back when Parkway City Mall didn't have a food court. There were no food courts. And we were the fast food in the mall during Christmas rush, and that meant you either went to the Piccadilly cafeteria around the corner or you ate at Chick-fil-A, and all God's children ate at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like a little bit. Like, my job was to sling chicken. Every time I filled a pan, you know, you put it through the milk wash, you soak it in the seasoned flour and all that kind of stuff. Next, another one. Do you sling it again? Next, really?
Yeah.
Anyway, how about this? Chick-fil-A, known for its conservative Christian approach to life, right? In fact, I don't know this for a fact, but I have questioned before whether or not when manna fell from heaven, it might have been chicken minis. Just saying. Although there was no meat in it, so it couldn't have been, I guess.
Could have been the chicken mini buns.
Okay,
know?
if it wasn't that, then it was double stuffed Oreos falling from heaven. But so a hospital in Minnesota, run by a company called Essentia Health in Duluth, Minnesota. Story here on Daily Wire, Dateline Today. Hospital apologizes for providing Chick-fil-A lunch to its employees, thanking those who had the courage to complain. Yeah, just go with me here. A Minnesota hospital, according to Daily Wire, has now issued a profuse apology to its staff after failing to abide by its, quote, values of respect and justice by giving out free Chick-fil-A. Okay.
It's more for us.
It says, we have received feedback from some colleagues who were concerned or offended by this occurrence. Listen, if you're a healthcare professional and you're offended because somebody ate a Chick-fil-A in your presence, then by God, you're in the wrong profession. You need to go work somewhere else where, you know, people don't ever ask your opinions. So we value our colleagues' feelings and recognize they felt uncomfortable and expressed their reservations. We'd like to thank our colleagues who had the courage to speak up to widen our lens of inclusivity, and we appreciate all colleagues continuing to live our values of respect and justice.
Just shut up, man. I can't take it whenever I hear that stuff.
You weren't telling me to shut up.
No, not you. I was telling them.
No, but I look at it, first of all, nobody, it goes back to that manly man conversation. Nobody real says things like, where'd it go? I just lost it. Our lens of inclusivity. No one talks like that.
Lens of inclusivity.
If you say things like lens of inclusivity, then you automatically have a red flag in my book. But so apparently Chick-fil-A is no longer going to be served at Essentia Health staff meetings. And I'd like to know this. How about this? I wonder how many people love the Chick-fil-A and are now ticked off they won't get it next time. Can they speak up? Are they allowed to speak up? Does woke world allow them to speak up? I doubt it. How about this? Did you hear about there's a new social media platform? It's just for people on the left.
Really?
I kid you not. It's real. It actually is real. I did see where you're starting to see a lot of infiltrators. Babylon Bee opened their own account. It's called Blue Sky. It's real. I even saw that Kyle Whitmire, who is the uber liberal guy from AL.com, was telling his followers, you can just follow me over on the blue place, trying to wink, wink, nod, nod. Don't say what it really is. It's called Blue Sky. It's not going real well.
I bet. I wonder why.
It's not it's not going real well because it's nothing but, you know, like this hyper-censored, like, bubble of rage. I mean, it's like, how do you possibly have social media conversations where everything is censored? And that's what it is. All the things they wish they could do to Twitter, they're trying to do to themselves, and it's not working out very well. So piece on Red State, Dateline 2 days ago, says, the left is abandoning the X platform in favor of the left-leaning Twitter knockoff called Blue Sky. Easy prediction here, it would devolve into just a mess. It's an ideological rigidity. Yes, it is. So they are centering themselves to the point that no one can say anything. Everything is double-checked. It's blocked. And you even have people on there saying, if someone says something to you, block them outright, which means that nobody's following anybody. This is happening on a regular basis. For instance, it says, on the 15th of this month, a new account was opened up called Libs of Blue Sky. Like Libs of TikTok? Libs of Blue Sky. Mm-hmm. They posted an update saying that their account had received 42,000 reports of harmful content in 24 hours, coming out to 3,000 reports an hour.
42,000?
42,000 reports of harmful content on Blue Sky in one 24-hour period. They're basically saying that no one on the site is allowed to say anything that triggers anyone else. If they are, they're blocked, which means that basically everybody has an account that nobody can see, and they talk to themselves.
Man, it kind of sounds like an ideal place, actually, where liberals censor themselves so much they can't even say anything. It actually kind of sounds like heaven, you know?
We're just going to sit back and laugh. I got more of this. Adventures in Woke World. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I gotta play that bump until the drum roll. I just, you know, just a brief ode to Taylor Hawkins.
It's only right.
Yeah, Taylor Hawkins, the former drummer of Foo Fighters, who passed away a year and a half ago.
Yeah, while I was in college. So yeah,
sadness.
Rest in peace.
Yep. All right. So I just got a text in, by the way, from Ken from Harvest. He's correcting me. He says, "You are mistaken. The closest thing we have to manna from heaven is a warm Krispy Kreme donut." That is in the running.
That's up there.
With hot lights on, I could see it.
It's funny, my freshman year Bible teacher in high school used to say that the proof of the Garden of Eden is a dark chocolate. So that the forbidden fruit was dark chocolate.
The forbidden fruit was dark chocolate.
Yeah. So that's the proof of the Garden of Eden was real.
Okay. I'm not sure how to go with that, but all right. All right, we're back on Adventures in Woke World. So by the way, here's one. This is an adventure, but it's also kind of a win. I like this one. This is just good. This is also just righteous. Elon Musk, according to theblaze.com, 2 days ago, Elon Musk is triumphant again. Elon Musk is triumphant as IBM, Disney, and Comcast end their year-long advertising boycott. They are back, man. It says Comcast, Discovery, Disney, IBM, Lionsgate Entertainment, and Warner Brothers have all resumed spending money on X. Go figure. Pray tell, JP, why would that be? What do you think? What would be the impetus for them making that decision?
Maybe because they realize that how massive of a platform X is, and they can't get away from it.
And maybe they got to make some money.
They got to make some money.
And maybe they realize that they were all in on the wokeness, and it didn't pay off.
Yeah.
Maybe their shareholders finally said something.
It's like, wait, everybody else didn't fall in line and do what we did?
So I will just say this cracks me up. Like the brands mentioned above said, along with Apple, by the way, dialed back their ad campaigns after claiming that their branding appeared. There were complaints that their brand was anyway, the bottom line is this. Anti-Semitic for, you know, Elon Musk and all the things that are bad. The end result is this. They came back. And they came back humble and quiet, like no fanfare. Everybody left Twitter with a huff. Came back with not even a puff. I mean, it was just, it's kind of ridiculous. That's woke world, though. Because you know what? Here's the thing. You go woke, you go broke. End result is someone's got to come back and go, you know what? This is not working out. We got to do something about this. How about this one? Always good for a laugh. The former barista now in Congress, AOC. She has apparently scrubbed her pronouns off her social media profile. Did you hear this?
I saw this. Yeah.
So Adventures in Woke World is proud to point out, according to WokeSpy.com, Dateline yesterday, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's a hyphenated name, by the way.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about hyphenated names.
I'm right there with you. I do not trust those people.
I don't trust hyphenated names. Mm-mm. Call me silly. Don't call me silly. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York deleted her preferred pronouns from her profile following President-elect Donald Trump's election victory, and now she's trying to deny the decision was motivated by politics. Well, what was it then, AOC? Well, she says, well, no, we just, you know, we didn't have enough room for my entire bio, and so we had to drop something, and that was what we chose to drop. It's crap. Somebody counted the characters. There's plenty of room. Someone decided, you know, we kind of need to get away from this because, you know, we lost the election bid. Some are saying that what it really is AOC is finally becoming part of the machine, and she's beginning to moderate so that she can try to get reelected because she recognizes the challenge is coming. I don't know what it is. All I know is this. She wants influence. She thought she had it. We proved she didn't. And now she's taking her pronouns off of her social media. Gotta love it. How about this? By the way, did you watch Barney when you were a kid?
My sister did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She was big Barney.
Well, so yes, my daughter did. And I can still remember... one of your uncles, I won't say which one, because I'd be calling him out.
I could probably tell if you tell me the story.
One of your uncles making the comment, No kid of his was ever going to watch that stupid purple dinosaur. No kid of his. And they did. Like, a lot. But how about this? College professor, according to Daily Wire, Dateline yesterday, a college professor claims that some of the hate against the Barney the dinosaur is due to men that are rebelling against an alternate version of masculinity and being homophobic. I should have used this one in the masculine thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a quote. Understanding particularly why adult men didn't like Barney reveals a lot about gender and power. No, it really doesn't. It was just because that show was irritating as all get out.
Yeah. I think that's the word.
This big goofy purple dinosaur. I love me, you love you, or something. I don't know what it was.
We are a happy family.
That's yes, exactly. Okay, you did watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever happened to things like when I was a kid, it was like G.I. Joe and Johnny Quest. That's right. Johnny Quest, who had a friend named Haji. We couldn't call anybody Haji now. He had a dog named Bandit. And he had Race Bannon, who looked just like Mike Pence, who was out there saving the world every day, having adventures and shooting real guns. Thank you very much. Johnny Quest didn't need somebody to accompany him when he walked down the street. He was a little man. And now we got Barney. No, we don't hate it because it offers up a different model of masculinity. Even as a purple dinosaur, not a human, the message about love, about nurturing, about looking after others, these are emotions. And they also, by the way, could be understood to be feminine and somewhat feminizing. Barney could be understood as resisting that, pushing back against that, offering a different model of sexuality and gender. Stop it. Okay, I'm done. I can't do that anymore. Adventures in Woke World will always find the most inane excuse for why something that is just dumb or somewhat, you know, irritating or just makes no sense or defies science, why it's really okay, and you just don't understand. You just really don't get it, do you? Okay. How much time have I got?
You got about 5 minutes.
I got time. So I got two more in Woke World, and both of them drive me crazy. Our U.S. military. Now, I will say this. The Coast Guard, I'm very aware the Coast Guard is technically a part of the Department of Homeland Security. It is not a part of the Department of Defense. However, those Coasties go out there and they do a job every single day, and some of them are in more hostile fire zones than members of the DOD are. I mean, when they're doing drug interdictions and boarding ships and they're doing rescue dives and all the things it takes to save lives and to protect our coast. And by the way, some Coasties actually deploy to war zones because they protect the port waters and that kind of thing when we have ships overseas. That being said, and they now have a cool movie with Kevin Costner and what's his name? I can't remember his name. Anyway, the U.S. Coast Guard is still wrapped up in the wokeness that has really raked our military's recruiting over the coals. I'm not being shy in saying that I really believe that a big chunk of why we have, I can attribute the 40-year low in recruiting to a few things, not the least of which is the debacle of the Afghanistan pullout, which demoralized not just our people in uniform, but the people of our society. We were blown away by that. It was embarrassing. It was demoralizing. And we almost don't want to see people have to be so-called led by people that would do something like that. The other thing that I really believe is there are people who don't want to have their sons and daughters go into a military that's going to treat them like a social experiment. You want to train a kid to be a warrior? You want to tell them they're going to have a life filled with adventure and go places and do things they would never do otherwise, and that they are doing it for a cause bigger than themselves, and you're going to have people sign up again. Me personally, I still love the military. I have family members on active duty right now. I was down at Fort Benning the other day, and yes, I still call it Fort Benning. But the reality is we got problems, and they're going to get fixed. They are going to get fixed. But right now I got a situation here. I pulled this off of STARS, which is the organization that I'm on the National Board of Advisors for. STARS has an article about a U.S. Coast Guard member who took a break in service, and that means they got out and then thought about getting back in. They took a break in service. About 5 years, honorably discharged, came back and said, I'd like to re-up. And they said, yeah, you're perfect. You're in great shape. You've got everything it takes to be in. You did a great job when you were here. You've got an MOS or a specialty that we like. And then they made sure he understood that he would have to deal with the pronouns of people in the Coast Guard. You know, pronouns that don't match up with their biological sex. And he said that he was not comfortable doing that because that violated his religious beliefs. And the Coast Guard said, well, then you're probably not going to be able to join. That was the basis for them not taking him in. He has now hired legal counsel. So the guy is basically saying he had no other option but to seek legal counsel. He got a lawyer, actually a legal clinic at a local law school. He felt called to take a stand, not only to defend his rights, but to help others who have similar conscience objections. And then he goes on to say this. He said, I tried to find a way to make this work. I just could not get past my conscience. I even offered to use generic pronouns just to simply use a member's rank. I really tried, but he said they weren't going to do it. So they sent a demand letter to the Coast Guard, and the letter went through the recruiting office, and the Coast Guard came back, and all they did was give him a list of the pronouns he's supposed to be willing to use. Supposed to be willing to use. They said this, the Coast Guard did. The Coast Guard transgender policy is not intended to dictate Mr. Sanders, it's his name, right to think and believe as he wishes. The Coast Guard's military transgender service policy requires that all Coast Guard members be considered and treated in accordance with the member's gender that is recorded in DEERS. And DEERS is the national database for military personnel and their dependents, including members who have transitioned. That's the Coast Guard position. They would rather not have somebody who is fully qualified, has already proven himself in the ranks, just wants to re-up. They've already said he meets every standard except that he does not want to join in with the pronouns. All right. Listen, when we get back from this break, I've got one more Adventure Woke. I saved this one. I just feel like everybody needs to know that lab-grown meat is still out there. We may need a hat or a t-shirt. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. And so, Adventures in Woke World. Ooh, this one, I've got a little time between now and dinner, so I can go ahead and talk about it. like some of y'all out there I know are probably into like microbrewery, you know, like you brew your own beer or something at home. That happens. You know, I know folks who their gift is baking bread, and you know, and there's one lady who every year I can't think of a time that we haven't gotten a loaf of her homemade bread, and it's just awesome. And so that kind of thing is certainly out there, especially the microbrewery, which requires like some equipment and stuff. You got to do things and. You know, people who are into canning and, you know, and making preserves and all that, all good. I get it. How about this? How about having your own bioreactor at home so you can make lab-grown meat at home? Oh, the fact that I even said that. Lab-grown meat. Meat from a Petri dish. Meat where there was no meat. Meat where you actually cloned something and grew it in a pan and ate it. Like a man. I'm just saying that is, first of all, that's gross. That's also unnatural. I get really concerned when something that unnatural is being touted as a way forward. It's a thing. It's all good.
This was the lab-grown meat that we talked about before causing concern because it grows like cancer.
Yes. Yes. Thank you very much for remembering. It does. It has perpetual growth capabilities, much like cancerous cells. It just keeps populating, which makes you wonder what's happening once you eat it. Just saying. So I pulled this article, believe it or not, off of a source called greenqueen.com. Phil, you went to a place called greenqueen.com. I wound up there. Anyway.
Somehow ended up there.
Yes, I did. Tokyo-based startup Integriculture has launched a starter kit to drive innovation and to accelerate research and development in the cultivated meat sector. I love how they cloud the name. It's cultivated meat. No, by God, it's not. It's something in a Petri dish. It's this flappy little piece of slimy substance that looks like something that washed up on a beach, and you're calling it cultivated meat. They also call it cell-cultured meat. The cell-cultured meat starter kit removes all the hurdles and simplifies the processes. The starter kit is designed for researchers, entrepreneurs, and experimenters who are exploring cell farming as new business or research areas. Cell farming. Listen, this is how the zombie apocalypse starts, right here. They grew it in a dish, somebody ate it, and then we have zombies, and that's how that happens. There's a movie coming. I can feel it.
Or they grow the meat and it just keeps growing and it's alive. It's alive. It's
like the blob. It just keeps, you know. It involves an oxygen permeable bioreactor. Why does that feel like something you should not have in your home? What's that over there you got in the corner, Bob? It's my oxygen permeable bioreactor. No danger there. But you look at this thing and the lab-grown meat, with all the parts and the pieces and the stuff you have to put in it to create things like an agent for cell disassociation and the eye coder for coating solutions for extracellular matrix and the eye freezer solution for cryopreservation. So all said and done, how about no? According to the company, Integriculture, the cellular agricultural starter kit paves the way for a broader range of entities to engage in rapid prototyping of nutritional, organoleptic, and other profiles of cell-cultured food products. Woke world is getting all up in my business right now because I'm going to say right now, if I ever go to a restaurant and they say, sir, how would you like your lab-grown meat cooked? I'm going to say, I'm out of here.
I would like my meat real, please.
Yes, I would like mine real. Thank you very much. Just saying. All right, there you go. Adventures in Woke World. We end it on the idea of you having your own bioreactor in your home. No worries there. Growing lab-grown meat. Just saying. All right, several text messages and all that I'll get to momentarily. Don't forget, coming up after the top of the hour break, we do have the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. A lot of things going on in the news nationally and here at state, which by the way, it's time for me to get back to state. I haven't done anything state-wise in a while because we've had so much news, you know, outside of our state borders, but there's a lot of things happening in Montgomery right now that are very concerning. Let me just mention this too real quick. If you haven't already clued in, we have a live stream of our show going on right now. A lot of folks are following it. You can pick it up. You can follow it on any number of places. You can go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. That's rightsidemedia.org. Or you can go to our social media. My Twitter or X is at Sen Phil Williams. It's S-E-N, Sen Phil Williams. Or you can go to our Rightside Media, which is rightside_media on X. Also, oh, by the way, you can just go to YouTube. If you do that, we would really appreciate a follow or a subscription. Just click on the subscribe. It doesn't like you get junk mail or anything like that, but what it does is it helps us as a company. We're growing in a big way right now. Had some great conversations today about next steps, and I really do believe that that Rightside Media, the parent company of Rightside Radio, is poised to do some big stuff. Little things like just subscribing to us on YouTube would mean a lot, and we would appreciate it very much.
We're only 35 subscribers on YouTube away from 600.
Come on.
Man, it would be great if we got to 1,000 before the end of the year.
That I'm talking 1,000. By the way, 1,000 is actually a marker.
That is a significant marker.
Company's new opportunities, even on YouTube, because for those who don't know, I'm still learning all this stuff. I don't even know what I don't know. there's levels. When you reach certain levels, you're allowed to do more. You're allowed to grow more. You're allowed to, you know, even monetize what you do. And so as a company, we have set some goals, and some of that just involves y'all clicking a little button that says subscribe or follow or whatever. All right, listen, coming up next, the Grand Council with my brethren, Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and just little old me pinging each other with questions. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number 3 on Hump Day. We're going into the third hour, going to get you all the way to go home time. In the meantime, you know the deal, it's Wednesday. That means we do a thing we like to call the Grand Council, where I bring in two of my brethren in talk radio, and we ping each other with questions. Just let the chips fall where they may. Sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't. Let me just call the roll. From FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show. Oh, by the way, he's the editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Also does a whole bunch of other stuff for other news outlets. Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed. Thank you very much. War Eagle. All right. Looking northwards towards the Huntsville market, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, Cumulus Broadcasting's WVNN, host of the Dale Jackson Show, also writes for Yellowhammer. Dale Jackson, are you there? Stand at ease. All right. We shall now call a quorum. Hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ba-da. All right, Dale Jackson, you first.
All right, I have a serious question here. I'm in a little bit of a beef with some Huntsville City School Board members. I don't really want to get into the beef too much, but my issue here is that all these people are freaking out because they're going to lose all their funding from the Department of Education. And I asked stupidly to people, I said, hey, well, has the Department of Education done anything good? And here was her response, Andrea Alvarez, a terrible person, District 3 school board member. She said that they feed the children.
Yeah.
And they made sure there's no failing schools in Huntsville.
Yeah.
Two questions. The obviously, the food is not free. We're paying for it. Would you guys consider an entire district where the kids are reading at about 37% the reading 37% of the kids are reading at grade level to be failing?
That's a woman who is so far into her own bubble that she can no longer see the outside world. For her, I mean, there's things she might have said that she might have tried to defend the Department of Education. But to couch it in those terms clearly indicates she not only has a disconnect from reality, but she does not even know how to describe what she does for a job. I would question how she's going to run for re-election if that's going to be her stump speech. But truth be told, they don't feed anybody. They might send some money, but even still, the Department of Education just threatened to withdraw the food money for lower income kids if we didn't jump into the transgender agenda under their Title IX interpretation. So I say the DOE can pound sand and go away, and she probably needs to find a new job. Jeff,
it sounds like she doesn't really know much of anything, just sort of there, but not know what the DOE does. No, I the Department of Education can, maybe it was a good idea at one time, but it's taken on so much and so much and so much that it's taken away local control from schools. What do you do with it? How do you wind it down? I'm all for eliminating it, but no. By the way, what does this have to do with your beef with the school?
Why'd you couch it in those terms? I'm curious. What's that got to do with the text about them picking on family members?
Well, they dox my kid.
Yeah,
and because I'm quote anti-public school, and he's six, but they just decided that was the way to handle it. I mean, one of them is a credibly accused drug dealer. That would be Ryan Renaud. The other is just a terrible person, Andrea Alvarez. Not that I didn't want to get into this, but that was their response to me asking these questions, was once again to dox my child.
So first of all, even though their job is to make an environment for your child to learn, your child should also be off limits at the same time.
I would never send my kid to a school that had these two morons and anywhere near it, first and foremost. Secondly, the problem here is that they think I'm anti-public school, therefore I shouldn't have any say where my tax dollars goes. These people are morons. There's just no other way to put it.
Let me know if you want to call Lawyer Phil later on. Just all right, next question.
Am I teetering near the brink somewhere?
I know. I'm saying you might need the cease and desist letter sent on your behalf or on Grant's behalf. How about that? All right, Jeff, next question. What do you got?
All right, what Dale Jackson thinks this does not matter, this Senate pro tem race. He could care less. It's uninteresting.
Ooh.
He is uninvolved, unemotionally moved. Will we be around to remind him 6 months from now when they're in session and he wants something stupid that they're not able to achieve his stupid desires because Roger Smitherman and our Bobby Singleton have decided to filibuster, and the person who was elected to pro tem is allowing it. Should we remind him, Senator?
So Dale, if you indeed really said that, and I was not present, so I'm giving you the wiggle room you might need to catfish or crawfish on your own statements, but if you really said that, that ranks up there with Alvarez's statement about the Department of Education.
I've made multiple videos on this super important topic, and it was the number one thing you should be talking about today on Monday. So I don't know what Mr. Poor is talking about. I may need you to send him a cease and desist letter from these attacks.
Mr. Jackson had to be nudged by his superiors to care about this.
Jeff Poor is my superior.
I can, by the way, I can just go ahead and I'll jump on the topic. That was what I was, you stole one of my questions, but it was a pretty obvious one. Greg Reed has been in the state Senate. He got elected same time I did back in 2010. He moved up into leadership, and he has been the pro tem now for what, 4 years? And he was majority leader before that. The reality is that pro tem position is key. That is actually, in my opinion, one of the most powerful positions in the entire state of Alabama's politics, is that pro tem. If somebody wants to wield it that way, and I don't mean like in a bad way per se, it's the kind of person that can get things done and block bad things from happening.
Let me short circuit this for just a second. Okay, so who do we want? Let's say that me and Jeff and Phil, we all agree on the premise of we want them to shut the Democrats down and actually do things.
Yeah.
Who do we want?
I floated three names. And by the way, there's some good people down there that could do it. But I floated three names on Jeff's show the other day. I said Chris Elliott, Sam Gavan, Arthur Orr. Those are three names that I would like to see in the mix on this. And Jeff brought up a great point. Whoever, one of those guys could wind up being rules chairman, which is also a huge deal. But that pro tem seat, that is, I can't tell you how that handles things related to not just the management of what's on the floor of the Senate, but the management of the Senate itself.
Isn't it just Garland Gudger and Steve Livingston? I mean, as much as I don't care about this, aren't those the two that are up there?
It's not going to be anybody but those two at this point. I don't think.
So who do we want?
First of all, I'll just say that Garland. I mean, I like Garland, but if Garland had not voted against the school choice bill last year, I would say I guess Garland Gudger. But I'm concerned about where he is on some positions right now when he was pro-gambling and anti-school choice, and that's just antithetical to what the conservative base has been asking for. The guys I named are the ones.
If Livingston had to vote, he would be already pro-tem. They would have done this yesterday. They moved the vote to December 3rd, and I guess the powers that be are going to get metal here and try to get Senator Livingston the votes, but I'm surprised Garland Gudger, he's got a better shot than I was led to believe, and maybe he could pull off the upset. You have a lot of weird things going on in the Senate. A lot of members maybe experience a little cognitive decline. Things like that are going on, guys. I look at this from the outside looking in, and the hand of God is trying to move it to Steve Livingston.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a hand of God, by the way. But I question whether or not I question whether or not anybody really wants to see the power of both the Speaker of the House of State of the state of Alabama and the pro tem of the state Senate both from the same county. I don't think that's going to be wise, or from the same delegation at the very least. We got that's Jackson County and DeKalb County. But either way, they're two very close friends. Nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is, I'm pretty sure what we'd wind up seeing is a push for a gambling bill so fast we could hardly stand it. They would beg the governor to call a special session to put a casino in DeKalb County. That's what would happen. We can do better than this. How about that? Let me get my question in before we run out of time. Looking northward towards D.C. right now, if all of the Trump picks for different positions, make it through, the one that I think that has the most trouble, everyone would agree, is Matt Gaetz. He's got an ethics report that the Democrats are desperate to push out, and Republicans are like, wait a minute, we never issue those reports to the public. So my question to you is that report fair game? Dale.
I want to say yes, and I like Marjorie Taylor Greene. Like, let's release them all. I think that's what they should do, but they're not going to do that. This is a protection racket. If the role was different and it was Democrats and Republicans and this was the Biden administration, the Republicans would say release the report and the Democrats would say don't. That's the game.
But I think her play is right. You release one, we're going to release them all. Jeff?
It's absolutely not fair game. We've never done it that way.
Yep, that's right.
Here's let me say this about this ethics report. It probably works in Gates' favor. They just go ahead and release it. It's like pulling a Band-Aid off or whatever. But the way the media are covering this, it is so dishonest. The way Democrats are acting about it's dishonest. And look, the House needs to tell the Senate to go pound sand here. That, you know, that they're two separate entities and one branch of government. You can't have that sort of dynamic where the Senate kind of demands things from the House.
And I question too, would it wind up working in his favor, like you said, but because of like the Trump effect? You know, every time Trump got indicted or tried, his poll numbers went up. I just wonder, would it make Gates more of a hero, if you will? Either way, I still think he's got a bit of an uphill climb with at least some of the members for confirmations. Ah, that is round one of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and little old me. You guys stay tuned. We'll come right back. Round two, Grand Council. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just giving you all the truth you can slap on a bumper sticker. All right, we're going right back to round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. First question, second round. Dale Jackson, what you got?
I really wanted to ask about whether or not we were going to get any more people in the cabinet who will receive stone cold stunners. But we've got two already. I don't think that's going to happen with Linda McMahon and Donald Trump. That's probably about it. But instead, I want to ask a serious question.
All right.
How hard is the push for gambling going to be now that the Porch Creeks are off the reservation?
Well played with the off the reservation reference. That was well played. I think it's coming hard and it's coming fast, and they're going to I would not be a bit surprised to find out that they don't go for another special session opportunity. But here's the thing. I also look at some of what's happening with the Porch Creeks. I think you also have to watch out for the KIV lame duck governor Porch Creek compact. And I don't know. I mean, I have not had an opportunity to start calling my contacts in Montgomery, but I know Jeff has. So, Jeff, what are you hearing?
This purchase of the property in Birmingham kind of makes you think compact or bust, right? I don't think they're going to do it in the legislature. I think they're losing a vote with Greg Reed. Even the guy who looks to be the favorite there is a state lawmaker, Matt Woods. He's not a gambling guy. The numbers appear to be drifting in the other direction with gambling. But as far as the compact goes, who knows what the governor does? I mean, she's just kind of governor in name only. My colleague Joey Clark called her.
She's really been. I would say absentee. I mean, you look south at DeSantis, he's hard for anybody to stand up next to, but you look south at DeSantis, and you see what a governor can do when he wants to get out in front of an issue, when he wants to lead on an issue, when he wants to be present to provide assurances to his constituents. You're not seeing that right now in Montgomery from pretty much anybody. But that being said, that's why I'm a little concerned that they may have a route to her signature, if you know what I'm saying. Because all it takes is a governor's signature to enter into the compact with the Porch Creeks, and all of a sudden, boom, expansion of gaming. And then the Porch Creeks fight the rest of the gambling bills to try and keep anybody else from being in competition with them. Literally, I said every year, people always say, how'd that gambling bill go down? Well, I'd love to believe that it was all because we fought it. But it's also because the gambling interests themselves eat their own,
yes,
and they kill it themselves every single
but
year.
But they're on a team now. They're sharing money.
Well, now that Porch Creeks are buying up the competition, it does make you wonder. I don't know. Anyway, Jeff, next question. Run out of time. What do you got?
Hey, Tommy Tuberville's been pretty much Donald Trump's voice in the Senate or whatever you want to call him. He's been his biggest ally. And they ask you about every nominee, and AL.com also takes his comments out of context. Well, what do we think we're going to get to some kind of level of fidelity out of Katie Britt on these picks?
Yes, and I say that because of the Rick Scott thing. If she had not openly said I supported Rick Scott then I would be concerned. I'd say, she's couching at things. She's counting her votes. She's doing it. But when she got out front of the Rick Scott situation, it told me she was ready to do what is necessary to support the bigger cause. Now, I could see her getting sideways on Matt Gaetz if this thing comes out about this report and there's real credibility to the idea of him being, you know, a sex trafficker or whatever it was. But the reality is, I think she's gonna vote in line with the idea of getting Trump his picks. I really do. Dale.
If they get to the floor, she's voting yes. I mean, that's it. Matt Gaetz, I don't think he's getting to the floor, but if he gets to the floor, it's a yes.
Simple answer, but I think you're right. All right, last question. So here's the deal. I saw a text or tweet from Tabitha Eisner, always good for a laugh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and she's, you know, for those who don't know, she's part of the Democrat leadership in the state of Alabama, always got an opinion, usually kind of self-owns herself on her tweets. But she tweeted out today that the Democrats supported transphobia or opposed transphobia from Republicans did not mean they were wrong. Okay, and yet today we find out that AOC has removed her pronouns from her social media. My question is this. Have the Dems learned their lesson? Did they recognize that the rest of America doesn't buy into this stuff and they recognize they lost the election in part because of wokeness, or are they just going to keep digging down deeper? Jeff?
I think Democrats probably won't, but I think the laws of economics are finally catching up with these media outlets. Who is buying advertising on this stuff? They were sold a bill of goods. They were told, this is where the country's going, guys. You want to associate your brand not with a more watched Fox News product, but an MSNBC touchy-feely Joy Reid 60 Minutes of Hate product, and you will be accepted by society. And now these companies are like looking at it like, wait a minute, none of that what you told us is true. We're moving our advertising around because this is where the country is, and I think you're seeing the economics finally, these years, kick in.
30 seconds. We saw that confirmed today, too, when a bunch of the wokest went back to advertising on X, including Disney. Dale, you want a tribute on that?
Steve Daines came out and said, my pronouns are Republican majority. So I think that tells you that they are not done. Look, Republicans want this culture war fight. Democrats should not. The media is going to drag them kicking and screaming into every single one of these things. And they don't know what to do because the angry mobs want them to be completely insane. And unfortunately, as of now, the insane people are inside the House. So they're in the caucus. And
it's something.
They got problems.
All right, you guys. Jeff Poor from 1819 News and host of the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5 Mobile. Dale Jackson with Yellowhammer News and also the host of the Dale Jackson Show on WVNN in Huntsville. Appreciate you both. Have a great day. The Grand Council, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama, y'all. Alabama. I mean to say, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Bang. Just like that. All right, we're in go-home mode right now. Some of you guys have already smelled the barn. You got your car keys in your hand. You're heading out. Just be careful on the roads. I I know it happens every year. And every year I say, I can't believe it gets dark so early. But it does. So just be aware. And also, by the way, something about when the sun goes down at this time of year, it feels darker than normal. Even with that moon we've had lately. I mean, you could, just, anyway. Why am I talking about? I don't know. Let me go down and catch up on, my gosh, at the text messages. Holy cow. Floating all the way back to some of the stuff we did earlier in the show, like Manly Man stuff. By the way, if you missed the monologue today, it's worth catching. You can always catch it again as part of our podcast. That's a good segue. They can catch it again as part of our podcast. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, that's the audio podcast, but the latest edition of my Right Philosophy video podcast should be out tonight, I believe.
Should be out tonight, yes.
Upload is ongoing right now. So production's got the last little piece of it right now, but the latest video podcast from Right Side, which is called Right Philosophy, it comes out tonight. And it's a good'un. That's all I'm going to say. It's a good'un. It's worth looking at.
And if any of y'all aren't aware, the podcast of the show goes up every day to catch if you missed any part of the show. So on any of your podcast platforms, you can check us out at Right Side Media and if you missed any bit of the show.
That one's huge. That one's like been downloaded something like 260,000 times.
Yeah, I think it's 265,000 as of now.
Whoop, whoop. Okay, Brian S. from Huntsville says, I don't know about National Pickled Egg Day, but National Pickle Day was just on November 14th. I did not know this. There's a National Pickle Day? Why is it? All right,
it shouldn't be.
Now there's the question. Is it bread and butter pickles or is it dill?
Neither. There's two foods I won't eat, green beans and pickles.
Come on.
I will not do it.
Even sweet pickle, like sweet pickle relish. On a hot dog.
I think I was scarred because when I was a kid, talking about like Chick-fil-A earlier, they left the pickles on one of my sandwiches one day. And this was picky Justin when I was a kid.
This is picky Justin.
Yeah. And I think from then on, I've just been scarred by pickles. It's the same with green beans.
Was there something wrong with the pickle or you just didn't like it?
I didn't like it. And so from then on, I've just been against pickles. I think it was the same. I think I'm scarred of green beans, too, of my parents force-feeding me green beans at the dinner table.
Now I join you in that one. So, green beans and broccoli. I was also known as a kid to go hide the broccoli.
But I love broccoli, so there's that.
I hid the broccoli. I found it, and I put it places where it could not be found. Bama Grant from Huntsville says, a man's purse is called a merce. Is it really? Is that a thing? Is he coining that?
Or a satchel.
A satchel, yes. It's like it's your man bag. Don't carry a man bag. JT Lacey Springs says, several times I've heard a Dale Jackson promo. It goes, if you're talking toxic masculinity, then you're talking about Dale Jackson. I've heard that one.
That's Dale promo.
That sounds like a perfect Dale Jackson. Taylor from Vincent sent me a meme. He says, this made me laugh. I said, I feel bad for parents nowadays. You have to explain the birds and the bees, the bees and the bees, the birds and the birds. The birds used to be bees, the bees that used to be birds, and the birds that look like bees. And the bees that look like birds but still got a stinger.
That's funny.
Can you harvest that meme and let's save that for another day?
Yeah.
Mike from Athens says, it's Minnesota. Oh, I was talking earlier. What was the thing I was talking about?
About free Chick-fil-A.
Oh, yeah. Yes, exactly right. That's right. The hospital in Minnesota that begged forgiveness from its employees for serving them free Chick-fil-A and appreciated the courage of those who stepped up and said that they felt like their rights had been infringed upon. Why?
That's Tim Walz's estate right there.
That's Tim Walz's estate.
Thank God he's not going to be a vice president.
Can you imagine? Mike from Athens says, it's Minnesota. Why are you surprised? It's okay to put tampons in boys' bathrooms, but not eat free Chick-fil-A? Yeah, there you go. Philip from Huntsville says, you go. Oh, he says, you go, Phil. I grew up in Fort Mitchell, Alabama, right outside the back gate by Lawson Field. Yeah, sure enough. He said, both grandparents retired from Fort Benning, will always be Fort Benning. Yep, that's the thing. And some people question, is Trump going to order the renaming of posts to their legacy names? And I'll be honest with you, I doubt it. I don't know that he's going to get into that fight, except for maybe Fort Liberty, which is Fort Bragg. He's going to say, that's the best you can do. I'm going to rename it. It's going to go back. But some of that you have to look at and go, is it really worth picking that fight? Do you want to give them that ammunition? I would say let it go for now. Get in there, do the things that are really important, rebuild the military, the pride in our country, put us back on a world stage position that we need to be in. Tackle that later if you feel like you got the gas for it. Jeremy from Madison talking about the fake meat, the lab-grown meat. He says, Soylent Green is people. That's one of the freakiest moments of any movie. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Soylent Green. It's a movie. It's a classic. Was it Stanley Kubrick? It might have been Stanley. No, he did Clockwork Orange. Anyway, people find out that in the future, when starvation was going on, suddenly this new superfood is provided to them. Turns out it's the government dehydrating people and serving up pieces.
Yikes.
Okay. Glenn from Bluntsville said, is that how that worked on the Jetsons? George Jetson smashed the button and the computer gave him some food. You know what? He must have had the Japanese-made bioreactor in his house, like we just read about, that makes fake meat at home. And I tell you right now, that's how the zombie apocalypse starts. David from Bucky's checks in and says, Phil, just caught this on Fox News, but I can't open a link right now while I'm on the air.
The headline says, Jaguar is dubbed Bud Light 2.0 after releasing modernist rebranding ad with Androgynous models and no cars.
Androgynous.
Androgynous, but I've never heard that word before.
I will point out that I actually posted that on my Twitter at Zero Dark Hundred this morning. If you haven't seen the new Jaguar ad, it is absolutely, and I even said, this may be their Bud Light moment. So, David from Bucky's, you and I are thinking alike. Susan from, have you seen the ad, by the way?
Yes.
Oh, Lord. Susan from Elkmont says, did you know Chuck Norris used a stuntman? Yep, whenever a scene requires him to cry. Because Chuck Norris can't cry.
My favorite Chuck Norris joke is Chuck Norris doesn't do push-ups. He pushes the earth down.
Nice. Well played. John, and by the way, did you ever see the movies, the Expendables movies? And I think it was the second or third one. Chuck Norris was in it.
I think so.
But he played Lone Wolf somebody.
Yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And so he operated alone. He would just show up, save the day, and then leave again. John N. from Huntsville. Okay, John N. sends me a very long text about the Department of Energy civil rights warning. Let me see what it says. It says, perhaps you've seen what the Department of Energy's Office of Civil Rights is warning about. The very real dangers of AI discriminating against some classes of students, although almost laughably stretched, who might be harmed for such things as discovered plagiarism. Really? Transgender appearance as a security threat. Or racism, using data that shows disproportion. So basically, are you telling me that AI is issuing these things? That's crazy. John, I got to check that out. In fact, I feel certain there's an article somewhere. I will check that out. John from Huntsville. Wow. The Department of Energy's Office of Civil Rights. I mean, that almost feels like a DEI office.
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Thanks, John. The other John from Huntsville. That was John N. This is just John. Says, Phil, is the TV show Power Rangers considered manly? Because I got to be honest and say that I've seen almost every season of Power Rangers. Well, listen, I will tell you right now that my son, who is a very manly man, was very much into Power Rangers, and my grandson, who is following his daddy's lead, is very much into Power Rangers, and I will tell you right now, yes, it's a manly man show. Can I have some applause for the Power Rangers? Thank you very much. I'm not saying the acting is good. I'm not saying the special effects are good, but I'm going to go ahead and call it manly. Mike from Florence says, on the gambling issue, Redstone Arsenal has to pay to play Challenger Bingo, but none of the rest of us can? Has pay-to-pay Challenger Bingo, really? But none of the rest of us can? It says, oh yeah, it's all about who you are and who you know. Federal should have to follow state law.
I didn't even know that Redstone Arsenal had that.
I do not know what that means. By the way, if it's bingo on a card for charity, it's not against the law. If this is a bingo hall operating gambling machines that pretend they're bingo instead of being slot machines, then you got a problem. But Mike, actually, carded bingo in the state of Alabama, especially when it's charitable, has actually been legal for many, many, many moons. I was in the state legislature. I have gone through that law many times.
But so if it's federal grounds on a state that gambling is illegal, does that mean gambling is allowed on federal land?
Well, there are some exceptions here. Like, for instance, that's why the Porch Creek Indians have a modified version of casino action on their property because they are considered tribal lands recognized under federal law. But you're not typically going to see a military reservation or a national park, which are federal lands, suddenly having a casino operated for commercial purposes. It's just not typically going to happen. And by the way, typically federal has to abide by state law. That's why if you look at it, there are some things that are not actually in the Porch Creek casinos because they're still considered violations. That's why the Porch Creeks want a compact, which by the way is like saying a treaty. That's what they want. They want a Porch Creek compact with the governor of the state of Alabama. And the question is going to be, is she going to do it on her way out? Kay Ivey's been opposed to it, but then she kind of got soft and squishy on it here in the last year. More to come on that. Graham from Meridianville says the boogeyman looks under his bed to check for Chuck Norris. Nice. Brian from Huntsville says Chuck Norris and Superman fought over a bet. The loser had to wear their underwear on the outside of their pants. I mean, Superman lost, by the way. Brian from Bluntsville sent me a meme. Has Chuck Norris waving goodbye to the title of the baddest man on earth and says Trump just took it from him. Nice. I got news. Chuck Norris, he's still the man. All right, listen, we're taking a break right now. We're in go-home mode. We'll come right back, touch on a couple of key points that are in the news. I had a third dipper I didn't even get to today because we were so full, but I got something I got to say about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Got a bunch of y'all checking in right now with some Chuck Norris jokes. I'll get a few of those. Shane Daddy from Gadsden, he likes the movie Shane. That's because he's Shane Daddy. Thank you, Shane Daddy. Handyman from Caddo, Alabama, says Chuck Norris went to the Virgin Islands. They're now known as the Islands. Oh, my gosh. I should read these before I read them.
I even told you about that one before we came on.
I didn't know you read. Okay, now I see it. Okay. John from Harvest says Chuck Norris can start a fire by rubbing two ice cubes together. Nice. Jeff Rowe from Indiana says, hey, Phil, from man's day to day, I broke down and bought a half rack of ribs and ate that with my pickled eggs. See, that's better for you than that fried fish you get at the truck stop, brother.
Yes.
And listen, you can't go wrong. And I would imagine that that half rack of ribs was not grown in a Petri dish in somebody's home bioreactor.
I wonder if Jeff's ever gotten food poisoning from that gas station fish.
If you do, we don't want the details. Just saying. Patrick from Grove Oaks says, all the world records are held by Chuck Norris. The people in the world record books are the closest second place. Nice. Chris from Sterrett, Alabama says, Chuck Norris invented the word invented. you know, Chuck Norris thought he was wrong one time, but he really was only wrong once. That was the time that he thought he was wrong. Mike from Florence, Alabama sent me a link to something. He's okay, Mike. I'm not going to be digging into whether or not they have bingo at Redstone Arsenal right now, but I appreciate it. Army MWR has a bingo, which is a carded bingo. You heard what I said earlier, right? So there you go. John from Huntsville has the grades. He says Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson both get an A+ for their equally awesome performances. However, today's co-winners are JP and Phil. With the perfect Chuck Norris-sized A++, congratulations. And because today is International Man's Day, you both get to share a special imaginary first-place trophy made out of nails, razor blades, and nunchucks. Nice. Well played, sir. Listen, it is International Man's Day. Just remember, God made man in his image. You know what I'm saying? Manly men. And the idea that manhood is under attack is real. It is real. Because the left can't stand the idea that something that God made needs to stay that way. It doesn't mean that we get to blow it off. And the idea of toxic masculinity, though, on the other hand, is not real either. What do I mean by say that? There's no toxic masculinity. There's toxic behavior. If you're toxic, you're just toxic. It's got nothing to do with whether you're masculine or feminine. So the reality is you can be a good dude or you can be a bad dude. But the idea that there's a whole thing of we got to deal with toxic masculinity. Shut up. That's not anything to do with reality. The truth of the matter is this. Toxic is the problem, not the masculinity. So enjoy your International Men's Day. Despite what the thing was that I read earlier in the show, that men would enjoy being pampered and getting cozy undergarments and did I say undergarments? cozy garments and soft hoodies and what did it say? Grooming kits. So they can be pampered and nurtured. Yep.
Pampered and nurtured,
and that we can then savor manhood. Whoever wrote that has no idea what manhood really is. Mm-mm. Give me stuff that blows up, things that shoot, things that I can eat and feel full when I'm done. And oh, by the way, I like lots of carbs and extra red meat. And then if you don't mind, could we go ahead and say that you can have a day off from mowing grass? That would be cool. Just lay it all out there. That's my idea of International Man Day. No grass mowed anywhere in the world for at least a day. Just saying. By the way, Jeff Rowe from Indiana texted. He said, "JP, I'm immune from food poisoning."
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he got that's because he eats anything that cooked by Chuck Norris. Makes him immune from food
or
poisoning.
Maybe he's just had so much bad gas station fried fish that, you know, his immune system's probably the best in the world now. Is that
maybe? Yeah, he cauterized all the things in his innards. All right, hey, listen, I did not get to one today. A topic that is, listen, just to me, it is. Well, of course, the voters said so. One of the top two topics, no matter who you polled, one of the top two topics was always the southern border. I have an entire section today of At the Border, and it wound up that even today, as I prepared that topic, about midday, right before I went on the air, Jose Ibarra, the illegal alien member of the Tren de Aragua gang who murdered young Lakin Riley over in Athens, Georgia, he was found guilty and sentenced to life in prison. My only regret there is we have to pay for his existence now for a while. But nonetheless, that's an at-the-border issue. I'm going to do that segment tomorrow, and I want you guys to stay tuned to it because it's going to be legit. You've got all kinds of things that are about to start happening. It's going to get very real. I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out that we don't declare an emergency on the southern border, gives the president extra authority. I'm not going to be a bit surprised if we don't declare drug cartels to be enemies of the state, giving us extra military options, just saying. And it would not bother me or hurt my feelings one bit to see a Tomahawk cruise missile right smack in the middle of a drug lab somewhere in northern Mexico. All that to say, I got plenty on that tomorrow, so I want you to dial in for that one. In the meantime, just know this. We do this show every single day because of y'all. We have opportunities that may or may not present itself sometime in the near future. We can do it for even more. But the reality is right now, this audience is the reason why JP and I sit in front of microphones for 3 hours a day, why we spend hours preparing to be with you for 3 hours a day. It's because you guys rock. There is no reason to even have this show unless y'all are out there listening. And you guys have made this show what it is, and I can't tell you again how much we appreciate it. I do not take that for granted, because every single day it's about the audience. It's not about us sitting here in the studio. It's not about us hearing ourselves talk. It's not about us just having our opinions. It's about us having an audience out there that we get to educate, enlighten, empower, and entertain on what it means to be a conservative walking around in this crazy world. Having said all that, do remember this. There are more of us than there are of them. God is still on his throne. Y'all stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.